Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. You guys are in for a treat today. You guys are about to hear an interview with my new friend Yin Ha from Saving Sense. We are going to be talking about mindset and how her mental health journey played into her budgeting journey, her minimalism journey, and, you know, intentional living in general. And such a great conversation. You guys are really, really going to enjoy this one. So like I mentioned last week, we are doing this MBN challenge, which stands for Mindset, Budget, and Nest. And we are basically going to be spending the last 3 months of 2019 just ending this year on a high note and not just coasting into the end of the year and just kind of letting our goals just fall to the side because we're at the end of the year. So we are going to be really intentional with the last 3 months of the year. And I have a lot of great interviews set up for you guys. And Yin Ha's interview is the first of many great interviews to come. Before we jump into this awesome conversation, I want to remind you guys about my new course, Control Your Crazy. Control Your Crazy is basically what inspired me to do this MBN challenge and to kind of just get intentional with the different areas of our life and really break down those different areas. So if you guys are resonating with anything that you hear throughout this whole challenge, this last 3 months, I want to remind you that Control Your Crazy is going to be the course for you. So in this Control Your Crazy course, it is a video slide course. So you also will see my face right beside slides with the video, the audio, like it's the whole thing. It's so much more of a deep dive than we can get into in a podcast with just audio. Plus you get the workbook and you get a lot access to a lot of other great resources that I recommend on this journey. And so in Control Your Crazy, we actually go into the five different aspects of your life that are, you know, not just budgeting, but we dig in deeper with the home and with goal setting and positive thinking and all of that great stuff. So if this is something that you're interested in, I'm going to link in the show notes to Control Your Crazy. You can jump over, check out the sales page for yourself, get a preview of what's in the course and all of that good stuff. Okay. So you guys get ready. This is going to be a great interview. All right, guys, let's dive into this awesome interview. I want to welcome my new friend Yin Ha from Saving Sense, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear her story. So welcome. Hello. Thank you for being here with me.
Thank you so much for having me, Sammy. So my name is Yin Ha, and my husband's name is James. And we have a little Chihuahua mix who is a rescue, and his name is Wally. And so you'll probably see pictures of him if any of you guys follow me on Instagram. But we found the debt-free community earlier this year, and it's just been a really amazing community to be a part of. Everyone has been so supportive within this community. And so it's just been really amazing to meet all of these people.
Yeah. I was getting ready for the interview, I was reading your Instagram, and you said in your Instagram bio, obsessed with your dog's overbite. And I was like, what is this? So I scrolled way down and I was like, yeah, I get you. Yeah.
I am. And every time his little overbite shows, I have to take a million pictures. Yeah. I'm just obsessed. And so I just think he's the cutest thing, but he's also one of the meanest dogs too.
That's hilarious. So I have not been following you too super long. We have a mutual friend, V from V Frugal Fox, and you guys were at FinCon recently, and I started following you when she was like tagging you and everything. And I was like, who is this girl? I have to know more about her. And so I've been following you ever since then. And it's been really fun to follow you. And what got me really interested in following you is the audience will know that two episodes ago, I kind of took your You Are Worth It post and basically did a whole podcast on it, two podcasts before this one. So if you guys haven't listened to that one, definitely go back and listen. And that's what really got me interested in wanting to talk to you. And as everyone knows, we are doing kind of a mindset theme for October. And I was like, yes, I have to have her on because she knows about the mindset and how it ties into the money and the intentional living and just, you know, being a human being on this earth trying to live. Mm-hmm. It goes into all of it. So I would love to know more about when you got started, kind of just with your intentional living journey as a whole, as the mindset, the budgeting, everything else, and what intentional living means and looks like for you and your story.
So a lot of people don't know my story because I haven't shared too much about it. I know I share a lot about our finances. I'm pretty transparent about that. But as far as like the mindset and the mental things that have surrounded our finances, I really haven't shared that much. So about 2 years ago, I was in a job that I absolutely hated. And I know other people can relate.
Yeah.
But it honestly made me a miserable person. I was upset all the time. I took it out on people that did not deserve it. I worked 70 to 80 hours a week for a company that did not value me.
Yeah.
The stress was really overwhelming and I stopped eating and sleeping. It just became just too much. And so at that point, after maybe 6 months of living this life, my husband and I had a really serious conversation of whether I should continue this job that I absolutely hated and that made our home living not so great because I was so miserable, or if it was really possible for me to leave my job. I was interviewing with some other companies, but it just wasn't panning out and I just didn't know if I could take it another day. So we ran the numbers and we found that we could live off of one income. It would be really tight, but it would be possible. So we made some decisions on what was really important to us and our lives to make this new life work for us. And so that's where it really started.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's basically where your budgeting journey started as well as your mental health. That's awesome. I think that a lot of people really, when they first start on one aspect or the other of a intentional living journey, I think you don't really realize that it is kind of all encompassing. Like we didn't really realize that either. And that's kind of how we were. Like our life was just moving so fast and our life was moving so fast that I don't think we realized how unhappy we were. I don't think we realized how unstable we actually really were living until we started budgeting. And then we kind of were like really taking a fine tooth comb through our entire life. And it was just, oh my gosh, it was just a awakening in every sense.
Yes.
Yeah. So you quit your job basically. Is that what happened?
Yes. So yeah. I quit my job and it was just such a freeing moment.
Yeah.
And that really gave me time to focus on our family. Because at that point we were only married for maybe a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yes, a year and a half, because now we're 3.5 years in. So that was a really hard decision, but it was a great decision for us. Mm-hmm. That actually made us look at our finances really hard, because when you're stressed and you're just trying to make the easiest possible decision for you to survive. So that's what it really boiled down to for us. And so we were spending money left and right just for convenience. So we were eating out a lot, maybe not the healthiest of things. And we just did things to make us happy because, well, me happy because I couldn't find fulfillment in what I was doing because I was so unhappy. So we, and then when we lived off of two incomes, like, you don't really realize how much money you're spending because you have all of that excess money coming in that you don't think is excess at the time. You think it, you need it. But like you said, we went through our budget with a fine-tooth comb and figured out what exactly we needed to live and what was just an absolute unnecessary, like unnecessary thing that we had in our lives.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And I think that's what a lot of people find is that they're like, well, there's nothing extra. There's nothing extra. And when they start really like tracking their spending, adding up their bills, realizing how much money is really seeping out, unnecessary money, they're really, really surprised at, you know, where it's all going. So are you guys still living on just one income?
Yes.
That's awesome. And so do you feel like you have more money now than you did then with the two incomes, or?
You know, I wouldn't say we have more money, but I would say that we are probably still saving a little bit less than what we used to, mm-hmm. When we had two incomes. And so that kind of says a lot. And then it's just been really amazing that we were able to even live off of one income for 2 years now, practically.
Yeah. Yeah, where you thought that you needed the two incomes.
Yes.
That's amazing. That really says a lot about how intentional you've gotten with your money. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, a lot of people will ask me, well, what did you do? Like, well, what didn't I do? Like, I did everything. I did every little thing. And it's just when you really watch your money, it's amazing what you can find, what you realize that you really were wasting all along. And I think it's really what you said about convenience. I think that's a lot of people, if they would slow down, be intentional, get ahead of the game enough to grocery shop and meal prep and, you know, like whatever it is, that's how we were too. It's like our life was just, we were just barreling ahead so fast that I didn't even do a proper grocery shopping job. Like, it was just that barreling through things. It would be last minute, go in, grab some last things for dinner, come back out. And then the next day I'd have to do the same thing. And yes. It's so wasteful. It's so wasteful. It's wasteful of your time also.
Mm-hmm. We were spending about $1,000 a month on food, mm-hmm. just for the two of us. We don't have any kids.
Yeah.
And that is a ton of money. And now we're spending, and we still eat out, but now we're spending about half that.
Yeah.
Just because we're more intentional.
Yeah. That's about how we were. And we just had, our oldest daughter was 3 and our second daughter was newborn. So they weren't really eating that much. And we were spending so much on food, way more than we're spending now. So that's just amazing. So that's really a testament to tell people who are just starting this journey. Like, if you'll just really go through it, go through your budget, slow down a little bit, and it's going to take a spiral effect for the rest of your life as well. So is that basically where your financial journey began with wanting to quit your job, or was there any more background, you know, before that with you guys being newlyweds or anything like that?
So that was really the breaking point or the tipping point. But we also bought a house before we got married. And then while, you know, after we bought a house, that's when we were still in the process of planning a wedding. And so everything was just so expensive. Mm-hmm. And so you just feel like you have to have that money. But having all of that money still led me to be so unhappy, and being so, you know, not content with where we were, even financially. I felt like we weren't saving as much as I wanted us to save. And I was unhappy and James was unhappy because I was awful. So it was just, it kind of accelerated the path of me leaving sooner than I thought I would.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you look back on your story, you can see all of the pieces kind of lining up to it being your journey, you know, mm-hmm. and in the moment, you don't necessarily realize that it's happening. That's really interesting. So I think just really just kind of playing into the whole, like what you're expected to do as a young couple, buying a house, doing the wedding, mm-hmm. having the two incomes, the whole thing. And how has that been with just kind of your personal life, with how, what has your take been on people responding to you, you know, changing your lifestyle, not following this like typical path that you were supposed to follow? How has that been?
So it's been difficult. I am I'm a rule follower. I am a type A. So it was really hard for me. And James kind of moves at his own speed anyway, so he's okay. But yeah, for me, it was just really hard because honestly, it felt like I was failing. Yeah. I felt like I was failing because I couldn't manage my stress with a job. I felt like I was failing because I had to depend on my husband. You know, I feel like some women leave the workforce because they have children. And I think that is a legit excuse. Like, it's a full-time job to take care of a child. But then when I leave and I don't have any kids, it makes me feel like it just made me feel like a failure. And, and there's so much tied to money. So success for me is tied to money. I feel like if I'm not making money, then I'm failing. Yeah. So there was just so much tied, and just not even what other people thought, but even just what I thought about myself when I had to make these really hard decisions. And thankfully, I have a husband that supports that. But I know that I'm super lucky to have all these things, to have the option to leave, to have a husband that supports all of the decisions that I've made. But I mean, it was hard. And my parents, they still don't understand it. They kind of feel like I'm just like wasting my life. So it is hard to deal with what other people think, but it's harder to deal with what I think myself.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that our generation of women are under a new set of expectations that I think previous women weren't under, which is, it has its pros and cons. Like, I feel like our generation of women, we were much more educated than most of our mothers and grandmothers. I know I was, definitely. I was the first one in my family to graduate college. And so I was educated better. So I was expected to have this career, and my college degree and my career was wrapped up in my success and my worth. And I kind of went through a lot of the same thing, although I did push through and I worked until my oldest daughter was 2. And then when we were, you know, ready to try to get pregnant again, I was like, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. I'm going to do all this. And even though I did leave to have children, then it kind of goes into, well, my only worth is either to work or to have babies. I have no other worth. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a different take on it, but kind of the same thing as what you're saying is like, if I'm not successful in my job, who am I? Like, what am I? And it's kind of a good thing in a lot of ways, because I think our generation was, you know, like the whole feminism and women deserve to be educated and like all of that, which is great, but also we're still kind of figuring out what that means for us. Mm-hmm. I think a couple generations from now, they'll figure it out better than we are. We're kind of doing the grunt work of being like, hey, we deserve an education. We deserve equal pay. but also like I kind of want to let my husband pay the bills. So it's kind of an awkward in between. Have you felt that same way?
Yes. And because unfortunately my self-worth is tied to an income. Mm-hmm. It is tied to, you know, going to a job that I feel like I'm really good at, and I don't have that. Right now what I'm doing is I work the home full time. I work on our budget and I help other people with their budgets. But do I really have like a paycheck to really show for that?
Yeah.
No. And that's so hard. And I hate depending on someone else. And that's where the struggle comes in. And it's like, I hate depending on someone else, but you're forced to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of, I get into this kind of catch 22 thing of, this is going to be a silly metaphor, but you hear all these songs, like we were raised on Destiny's Child telling us to be independent women, you know what I mean? And then we're mm-hmm. like, you know, or like a Jennifer Lopez, like my love don't cost a thing kind of song. But then we're just like, okay, yeah, but also, I kind of need my husband's income. So awkward. That's kind of how I feel. I'm like, I am a strong, independent woman, but also we're kind of doing this as a family. We're kind yes. of depending on each other. And so it's a really weird place to be, I think. And your self-worth definitely does get questioned and you get like, oh, I'm just a housewife. That's it. I'm not a strong, independent woman at all. And, you know, it's just a really weird place to be. And I think it's a lot of like what you said about it's what you think about yourself and a lot of figuring it out on your own. So you're kind of going through this, you know, figuring out who you are, where your self-worth is and all of this kind of stuff. So how did you kind of go from that breaking point to where you are now as far as your self-worth and your mental health and all of that? So what kind of steps did you take in between to get to where you are now?
So I quit my job about 2 years ago. And honestly, it's been a long road. I did not start seeking counseling until about a few months ago just because you remove a stressful job from your life doesn't mean that your life just gets easier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some aspects did get easier, but there were some other aspects that I was really struggling with. And I've always struggled with just managing a high level of stress. I feel like I have a very low tolerance. And so when things get really stressful, and things did get really stressful, I felt especially guilty because we were in a house that after a couple years of living there, we had to renovate some things with the foundation, and that is huge. And it was just really stressful. And I felt so guilty because I wasn't bringing home an income to help with the payment of this. Everything got even tighter because we had to pay for this. So that just kind of all came to a head a few months ago when my husband had a talk with me, and he actually is the one that encouraged me. I would talk about it every now and then about maybe going to seek some counseling just because I just didn't know how to feel like myself. And so he really encouraged me and said, you know, like he verified my self-worth. He told me, he was like, you know, a house doesn't run itself. You have to think about all of the things that goes into running a household, which is true. And I do feel yes. like a lot of women don't give themselves enough credit. You have to think about even stocking the toilet paper.
Yeah. Somebody has to do it.
Someone has to do it. It just doesn't magically appear. But, yeah. you know, I feel like women just don't think that that is adding value to the home mm-hmm. when it really is. So my husband, you know, he verified the value that I felt like I needed. And then he also said, you know, it's okay to ask for help because that is something that I struggle with. I hate asking for any sort of help. So seeking counseling was even harder for me. So that's when I started going to counseling. And honestly, it has really opened my eyes on the type of person that I am and how to manage some of this stress that I put on myself. Because what I found is most of the stress is what I put on myself and not what others think about me.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, it sounds very similar to my own experience. I started counseling a little over a year ago, and I actually just wrapped my last session a couple of weeks ago. And I remember on my very first day, I went in and I told her, I said, I don't know what's wrong. Like on paper, my life is really great. Like my husband was the same way. He was very supportive. He was like, look, you're not happy and you're not okay. You need to like do something. And he was very supportive, very encouraging. And I'm like, I don't understand. I have an amazing supportive husband. I have these beautiful kids. I am, you know, running this blog and this podcast that I love. We're debt free. Why do I feel so broken? And she's like, you know, you've got, it's inside your head. Like it's you. It's not, you know, all of the outside stuff, your money, your marriage, your family, your home, everything else, like that is important too. But I think that if we don't lay that good foundation inside of ourselves, none of it, the rest of it doesn't really matter if we're not stable in our own head. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of for me, I was like, oh, I'm just gonna fix our budget. I'm just gonna focus on our marriage. I'm just gonna take care of the kids. I'm just gonna grow this business and I'll just be okay. I'll be okay later, you know? And I think like you said, like it just all kind of came to a head and I was like, inside my head is not a great place to be sometimes. Mm-hmm. So you're going to counseling and, is there any other stuff that you're doing that you would recommend to a woman who's feeling like you were feeling maybe 2 years ago? What advice would you give to her if you could go back to yourself when you were in the thick of all of the craziness? What would you tell her?
Well, I wanted to touch on something that you said real quick about how you just felt broken and on paper, everything should be great. And that is exactly how I felt. I felt so broken, but I also felt ashamed because I felt like life. Yes. And so it's like, what am I complaining about? Yeah. Why do I feel like this? But you're right. I felt broken. Mm-hmm. So what I would tell someone who was in my position before, I would say be more intentional. Find out what makes you happy. And I know that sounds so generic, like find out what makes you happy. But to be honest, a couple years ago, I felt like I was a passionless person. Like I had no passion for anything in life. Like everything was just kind of like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. But really I didn't have a passion for anything.
You get really numb and really cold to life when you're just kind of in survival mode.
Yes.
Yeah.
So find out, you know, spend some time on yourself. Something that I've been working on has been personal development. And so, you know, you see, of course, I scroll through Instagram like everyone else and you see how well everyone is doing. And so it's really hard to not play the comparison game. But when you are also spending some time on yourself, then you realize that it's not about comparing yourself to other people. And so spend some time on yourself and just figure out what's really important to you and just become more intentional with your life. And also take some time to refill your cup. I always think about how women just constantly give and give and give, and then you can't give anymore. So you can't give to yourself. So it's really hard to pour from an empty cup. And so just take some time for yourself and just really focus on yourself. And I felt like going to counseling was that one thing. I felt so guilty for taking the time and taking the money to go to counseling because it's not cheap by any means. And we're living off of one income. So spending $300 a month on just me, and could I really show for this $300 that we're spending? No, not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, so it was really hard, and I still struggle with, you know, feeling so guilty. But, you know, we were talking about the You're Worth It campaign. I have to remind myself that I'm worth it too. I would tell my friends or anyone who's struggling mentally that they need to seek help. They need to, like, spend some time and money on themselves because they're worth it. So I would have to constantly remind myself that I'm worth it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. How you said that, you know, that's what you would tell your friend or your sister or whoever. You would tell her, no, don't be silly. Like, you need to mm-hmm. do this for yourself. But it's easier to say it to someone else than it is to yourself. So I think that that's really important for us to kind of step back and, you know, and for me, what really pushed me, which I know you're kind of not supposed to say this because you're supposed to do it for yourself. But for me, what really pushed me was I realized I wasn't showing up as the best wife and mother and sister and all the other roles that I play as I really could. And so I kind of didn't do it for myself right in the beginning because I was like, look, I owe it to my husband to not be a cold wife, to mm-hmm. not be, you know, I owe it to my kids to not be an overwhelmed, screaming mother. I owe it to my sister to be able to be there emotionally to support her when she needs me and all these other things. Which I know you're not supposed to say that. Like, you're supposed to say, no, I went for myself. You know, I went to take care of myself. But really, what really pushed me was I'm like, I'm not showing up in my life how I really want to. And then afterwards, I was like, okay, yeah, I am doing this for myself, mm-hmm. you know, like after. So I think it's kind of like, maybe you're not supposed to say that on social media. You're supposed to say like, oh, I showed up for myself. But at the end of the day, like, whatever it takes to motivate you to take care of yourself, yes. I think run with it. And yeah, about the spending the money, my counseling was only 85, which we live in a small town. So, you know, but our insurance didn't pay for it. And I was just like, oh, okay. I have to spend $85 on myself. And gosh, I can't even imagine if it was 300, I would really sweat it. But I was so in the thick of not taking care of myself that I wanted my hair short for like my whole adult life. And I would toy with the idea. I would cut it kind of short and then I would let it grow back because I'm like, I just can't get my hair cut that often. Once a year is plenty. And then I finally got to the point where I was like, you know what? I want my hair short and it makes me so happy. But to spend $40 on myself every 6 weeks, like me 5 years ago would think that is insane. It's such a waste of money. But I'm definitely way, way happier, way more like myself when I'm doing this. So I really encourage women who are like at the beginning of this journey to, you know, if your budget doesn't align where you can go to counseling or even get your hair cut how you want it, that is a really good motivator to get your budget in line, to get mm-hmm. your money straight. Because, you know, like you guys, you're living on one income and you're still making it work so you can go to counseling and show up for yourself. And that's amazing. That's really, really inspiring. So yeah, I think that that's really like a good reason to get your money in order if you need one. Mm-hmm. So what are your goals moving forward? What is, you know, what are your guys' goals with your money and just, you know, your hobbies, the things that bring you joy? What do you see moving forward for yourself?
So we have so many things that we want to do for ourselves in the future. So right now we're actually living with my parents because we're selling our house. And so this house that has given us a lot of problems, we are just really excited to like start a new chapter from it. And maybe even downsize, because I've learned through this entire process that more does not make me happy. More makes me, you know, feel more anxious. So I'm excited for us to downsize. We want to pay off our cars. So once we sell our house, that is what we're going to tackle next, is just paying down our cars, and then we want to focus on traveling. You know, this whole intentional living has really made us talk about what our priorities are. And it's not, you know, all the stuff that you can have. And that's coming from a person who was an emotional spender. I loved to spend money. I felt like I deserved everything that I bought, and it made me happy. But once I quit my job, we really just talked about our priorities. And so traveling is one of our priorities. And now my birthday is coming up, and now I'm telling my husband, please do not buy me anything because I don't want it. I would rather put a little bit of money towards our travel fund and go somewhere. And I just want to see all the things. So that's just what we're doing with our lives, is just trying to make a conscious effort to design our lives around our priorities.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I think that's, you know, a testament to just stepping back and hitting pause and really just, you know, taking a good look at everything and really realizing, is this what I really want? And I think that's what a lot of us don't do. I think that's how a lot of us get ourselves into this situation where we're buried in debt, we're in a job that makes us unhappy, we're in a, you know, having a mental breakdown. And it's because I think that we just go so fast through life and we do what we think we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. We buy the house, we have the cars and the job and all the things. And then when we step back, we're like, you know, really what I would like is just to have some quiet, maybe travel, get some money in the bank. And I think that it's just a testament to, you know, people who are just starting out on this journey that it can be done. It can be done. It takes some work and it'll take you a couple of years. You can't like shortcut your way through that.
Yes.
But that it's definitely worth it in the end.
You know, I feel like sometimes I feel like I've made my husband sacrifice a lot more. But every time that I talk to him about that, he always says that he would rather us be happy than just have more stuff while working a job that made us both really unhappy. So, you know, it's really, you just have to take a step back and like, look at what your priorities are. And I would say that most people would probably say it's not all the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your family and it's your experiences, I think, more than anything. That's awesome. That's really inspiring. And I'm really excited to continue following you and your story and see where you guys travel. And it's really exciting. I'm really excited for you guys.
Thank you.
So where can people keep up with you? So I know you're on Instagram. Anything else that you want people to know, where people can keep up with you, what they can look forward to seeing from you, anything like that?
So yes, Instagram is where I spend most of my time, but I'm actually going to start a YouTube channel soon.
Awesome.
And so I'm really excited to share that. So that's probably coming mid-October.
Awesome. That's really exciting. So are you going to mostly be talking about budgeting, or are you going to mix in some other things, or what are you thinking?
Yes. So I think it'll mostly be about budgeting, but it'll also just be about minimalism and frugal living. Yeah. And so, because I'm still learning about it.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
It's really exciting. Those are my favorite things, minimalism and budgeting. That is my jam. So yeah, I'm excited. So I will link to your Instagram in the show notes. And so everyone can go and give you a follow and look forward to your YouTube channel and look forward to all of your travels and go check out your puppy and his overbite. And so that is really awesome. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and hang out with us. It was really awesome getting to know you a little better and hanging out with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sammy, for having me. It's been really exciting and just kind of nerve-wracking sharing my story, but I really, really appreciate the chance.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being so open with us and sharing with us. Okay, guys. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't already. Share this episode because you never know who needs to hear this message. And I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.